scary movie. Hi, and welcome to Bloody Good Screens. I'm your host, Mark Goddard, and today we're going a little bit away from kind of the horror and the thriller kind of genres, and we're going to the world of the Arrowverse. Huge Arrowverse fan myself, so I'm very, very, very pleased to get our today's guest on the podcast. She is one of the newest members of the Batwoman TV show, so season two's kind of not rebooted Arrowverse show. So I'm welcome to the podcast, Bevan Brew.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the podcast. So what we like to do here on Bloody Good Screen is basically what we're doing at Bloody Good Breeds. So we get people to pick three films because I'm a bastard. It's the hardest thing to do, so that's why we have to do it. But we also come here to see talk about your projects you've got going on as well, and a little bit about your acting in the past as well. So I'm going to start the podcast, as I do every podcast. And what kind of films did you kind of watch growing up?
It was just me and my mom. So she would take me to the movies with her, and I would see like a lot of like rated R movies, like just good films. You know what I mean? Like, of course, yeah. I watched your standard Disney and Rapunzel and ba da ba da ba. But I remember just being so obsessed with like Indiana Jones. And when I was like 6 or 7, I knew like if my tummy hurt and I got to stay home from school, I could watch all three Indiana Jones back to back, like all day. So I always looked forward to that. And I loved like Titanic. And when I was like 9, I was like, I love Titanic. So I definitely grew up watching good movies. I never watched horror, though. I think I saw like maybe The Ring, and that was enough for me. And I was like, "This, I'm not okay." I was terrified. You know?
That's fair. You get that a lot with horror genres. A lot of people jump into it.
No. I do remember watching Jawbreaker with like my best friend in like third grade and thinking it was simply so cool. You know, and all those 90s movies are amazing.
But ironically, though, one of your first movies was a horror thriller.
Yeah, it was. It was. Headcount. It's not as scary.
So it's a strange one. Not a horror fan, but jumping in.
Right. Well, you know what? I know it's pretend. Like, I know it because I'm the one pretending to do it versus like watching a horror film. My imagination, you know, goes crazy. I can't sleep. I'm like, it's in the bed. It's under here. It's in the closet. It's da-da-da-da. The spirit. The ghost. I was like, I'd much rather have a home invasion than like a spiritual ghost home invasion. Because like, what do you do with a ghost? You can't like kill a ghost. You know, you're just screwed if the ghost comes into the house, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're in there, yes, that's it. Just move out. That's the best thing to do.
And that's so inconvenient, Mom. It's exhausting having to move every time a ghost comes to the house.
Exactly.
Much rather not.
And off in the UK, most houses are haunted, so you know.
Okay, well, us Americans, us little baby spirited Americans, we scaredy cats. We don't have too many haunted houses. All our houses are pretty new.
it's just way too much old stuff in the UK. That's all it is. So, did you kind of grow up wanting to get into acting, or was this kind of a thing like more your teen years that you kind of went through kind of college and kind of what to do?
Oh no, I knew this. I was like 8 or 7 years old. I was in this like summer camp for kids, and I got to like write my own monologue and like perform it in the summer show. And I just remember this like news crew was there to just like kind of tape and, you know, promote the whole kids summer camp before me, blah, blah, blah. And I was in the kitchen and my mom had the news on. I just saw my little scraggly self, like totally muted, but just in the background, like almost blurry, like of this newscaster's like whole segment. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to do forever. I just want to be a little blurry baby in the background of everything on TV. But that's when I decided that, yeah, that's it. And then I tried to do other stuff, you know, because every actor, it's like, you're screwed that you love to do that thing and that's what you want to do. And you're like, I pray to God tomorrow I'll wake up and want to be a doctor. And I tried to do so many things and nothing I mean, there's just nothing else for me. This is all I can give the world. This is it.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Are you doing something you love? And that's the main thing. So when did you get your kind of your first break?
I moved to New York when I was 18. I was really young, and I just, did little off-Broadway plays here and there, and I did some like national tours with, Alvin and the Chipmunk and Super Y, and I think when I finally moved to Los Angeles, I just had a better head on my shoulders. And within being in LA for like 2 years, I booked Headcount and we shot that, and that kind of felt like it was my first real thing because it was SAG and it was going to go on Netflix and it was going to go on Amazon, and it was like, so wow. So I mean, like, in terms of like my first, I feel kind of project, that would be it. But realistically, like, yeah, like Batwoman is the biggest thing I've done, the biggest break I had. So yeah, it's Headcount and obviously Batwoman.
So before we go into Batwoman, because there's going to be a lot of chat about Batwoman, because a lot of kind of season one, and then the main actress left and all that. So there's a lot to talk about in that one. So let's, before we do that, go into your first movie. So what is the first bloody good screen that you brought along?
Okay. It's hard. Okay, it's Greg Araki, and it's always a toss-up between Nowhere and Doom Generation. So because it's the same director and it was kind of part of his like trilogy that he did, those three films, I kind of count it as one, but so that's my first that I brought. I get to say Nowhere. We'll say Nowhere.
Not one I've heard of, which is a strange one for
Oh,
me.
97.
What's it about?
So it's like a satire, I think is how you would say it. Oh, it was shot in the 90s, and it was like LA and just like how vapid everybody was, and James Duvall was in it, and Rose McGowan and Heather Graham and Ryan Phillippe and who else? Like those are pretty much, I think, like the bigger. Oh my God, what's her name? Parker Posey was in it. I mean, it's so awesome. What I love about the movie, I love the color palette. Just the greens and the blues and the soundtrack. I mean, it was impeccable. I mean, they had Blur on the soundtrack, and it's such a vibe. And then he actually tried, or they did, they made it into a TV show a couple years ago, an adaption of it called Apocalypse Now or something like that. And I don't know like what happened with that. I never watched it. But yeah, Nowhere. It's hard to find now. So you have to torrent it, I think, or buy the DVD.
Looks like it was now Apocalypse, possibly.
Yeah, that was the TV show that was kind of like based off of the movie. I'm just not a huge fan of like, I don't know. I mean, there's some things that are so perfect that they shouldn't be remade. I mean, I can go on a whole tangent about things and people and human beings and blah, 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 blah. But the movie to me was just literal perfection.
I'll have to try and track it down, see if I can
Yes.
actually find it. Because I'm trying to find it now, and I can't seem to find it anywhere.
Right? It's
But
really
no,
hard
good choice.
to
I do like a left. I do like a choice out of left field as well, which is nice.
find. Wow, thank you.
See, also the director went on to do like 13 Reasons Why and Heathers TV shows as well.
Did he really?
So
I know he went and did like Kaboom in like 2010 or 11 or something. But I mean, to me, here's the thing. Today, you couldn't make Doom Generation. You couldn't make Nowhere today. It'd be impossible. Immediately canceled. No one would green light the script. So everything that's kind of like remade or da-da-da, it's just so watered down that you lose the edge of the piece. So you gotta find Nowhere. You gotta find Doom Generation. And the first one was called Totally Fucked Up. That was like Totally Fucked Up, Doom Generation, Nowhere. Those are the three movies. It was part of like his, I don't know what it was, like, the death of the teenager, essentially, just how the world was, the angst of the 90s. You gotta find those three. They might sell a box set.
So, Batwoman.
Yes.
Season two. So season two is completely rebooted. I say complete reboot. It's slightly rebooted, but kind of on the same kind of story arc of season one. How did you feel getting kind of pits to try to join such a big universe? I mean, was you an Arrowverse fan originally?
Oh, I mean, like, yeah. Like, and I also love the CW. Like, I've watched, like, Arrow and The Flash and, what's the other one? They're like, oh my God, Rain died. Mm-hmm. Although that's not Arrowverse, that's just CW. But nice. Yeah, the Arrowverse shows and movies, honestly, they were just, it was a world that I had never read comic books because they intimidated me. Like, I thought that I would, like, fuck it up because I didn't know whether to read the writing first or to look at the picture, and was I going to screw up the joke, or, you know, if my eye quickly glanced too far, I see the person's already dead, so I gave it away for myself. Like, it was just mm-hmm. so much. So I never read comic books, but I definitely watched the movies. And so when I got cast, I was like, there's like that disconnect moment where you're like, you know, you hang up on the phone, you book the part, and you're like, all right, cool. And it's like that delayed reaction, and then it like hits you. And I was like on my daily power walk through Los Angeles, and when it hit me, I had just crossed Beverly Boulevard, and I dropped down to my knees in front of someone's house. I don't know whose house. I like blacked out. And I was just like, yes. So it was like during the pandemic, you know what I mean? That's the last thing I ever thought was I was going to book anything. You know, it was just such a dark time for everybody, and actors especially. You know, everything was just like, it was impossible. Everybody was out of work. The competition was just through the roof. So yeah, it was just such an overwhelming moment for me. Both the universe, the fact that I got to do what I love, the fact that I was joining such a badass cast. Yeah, it was like a real gift.
For people who might not have kind of caught up with season two yet, tell us a little bit about your character and kind of where she fits in with the Batwoman story.
So I am Ryan Wilder's childhood friend / ex-girlfriend / lover. And you know, her and I grew up together in the group home, and she got adopted and I kind of didn't. So she went on to kind of have a more stable home with a loving parent. And I stayed in the group home till I was 18. So, you know, I ended up very much falling victim to the system and selling drugs and using drugs. And she was almost like my savior in a way, like always getting me out of trouble and stuff. So we had this tumultuous relationship, and she ends up holding drugs for me and getting caught on the street, and they believed the drugs were hers and she wouldn't give me up. So she went away to prison for 2 years. And so we stopped talking. And then basically we rekindled everything, you know, 2 years later on episode 204. And then, you know, just more drama ensues from there on out.
I mean, it's a surprise that they actually did a season two anyway, because of how kind of the main Batwoman character from season one, I forgot her name now, I'll just read it out. It's really, really bad.
Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose, yeah, sorry. So considering that Ruby Rose kind of was leaving the show, it's quite a big task to kind of, you're going for a whole season of one Batwoman to get a brand new Batwoman. It must have kind of, was it quite a shock that they were going to do a second season in the first place, or?
No, I think it was a mutual, like, she kind of left the show. I mean, I don't really know, but I think it was like a mutual departure, and immediately the showrunner knew she wanted to continue on with the show, and they kind of reworked everything and brought in Javicia. And Javicia, I mean, she is just such a powerhouse, dude. Like,
she is very good.
Oh my God, she's awesome. She's awesome to work with. She works so hard. It's so inspiring to be around her, you know, and she's so grounded as a person as well. So she had a big task on her shoulders, and I know that she got a lot of flack too, because, you know, she's black and people were being real freaking nasty online and stuff. And so she dealt with everything with such grace and elegance, with the haters, with the amount of pressure to the show succeeding and taking on this new role, switching up such an iconic character. And, so, you know, I'm so happy they did the season two. And I think that they really transitioned flawlessly from one Batwoman to another, and to not really miss a beat in between that. Mm.
I could say that the first episode, it's a really good transition from how the season starts to how she gets the suit and how she kind of becomes Batwoman in the first place. It's they've done it well. And the Arrowverse always does. But what I'm interested to kind of find out, though, Who would you like to do a kind of big season arc with? Like, which shows would you like to kind of combine with to kind of do the big crossover?
To do a big crossover. I know that they have like that multiverse kind of world, but I know they're doing a new show, which I think just got green lit, Naomi, which looks really cool. I don't know too much about it, but just like the aesthetic of it, I was like, oh, that'd be dope. But Superman and Lois, I would love to like somehow play, you know, that world comes in or something, you know, in an alternate universe, or you know how they do and a crossover like that. I think Superman and Lois is really fun. The Flash is really cool. I mean, honestly, any I would just have such a blast with any crossover. Like, I'm greedy. I want them all.
It'd be good because they've got so many different new shows coming into the universe. I know Flash is getting to its kind of natural end after kind of 8 seasons, and Arrow's already finished. But then you have got Stargirl that's just started up. You've got again, it's a shame that Black Lightning had to finish as well, because that would have been quite a good kind of crossover as well. It'd be nice. I'm interested to see how kind of the universe continues, because you've got the Batman universe now, and you've got Superman, the Superman universe, even though, well, obviously Supergirl is finishing as well, which is really frustrating because there's so many brilliant crossovers that could happen. But I'm really interested to see kind of where the transition goes. So yeah, I'm
I feel
intrigued.
like it's about like a year or two, everything will kind of settle, and the shows that the newer shows that just got picked up will be like, yeah, established and have their flow. And then when things cross over, it'll just make it so much better.
I mean, Marvel's got to do the same in the movies as well. They've got a whole brand new slate of heroes as well, and it's going to kind
Oh, yeah.
of be a slow transition. I mean, WandaVision did very, very well, and because that is probably one of the best TV shows they've put out in a long time. So with the random characters that you wouldn't kind of imagine having shows, you can do that with the smaller characters. You can make them quite big. So I want to see which DC characters they're going to throw out next, which would be good. So
Yes.
let's go into your second bloody good read.
Okay, so bloody
Bloody
good
good, sorry,
bill.
F. Sorry, let me.
Oh,
Bollocks.
okay, so my next one is Velvet Goldmine. That is one of my favorite movies ever since I was in high school. And that one was directed by Todd Haynes, who's actually doing the Velvet Underground documentary or some kind of movie coming out this year, I think, or next year, which I'm excited for as well. But yeah, so Velvet Goldmine, it's kind of loosely based on like David Bowie. It's inspired by David Bowie's life, and you have Iggy Pop playing in it, and Ewan McGregor's in it, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is in it, Christian Bale, Toni Collette. It's just such an awesome movie. Again, I love good soundtracks. The soundtrack is so good. It's like that glam rock from the, you know, the 70s, and then it kind of movie goes into kind of the transition of the 80s, and it almost has this, you know, how all of these incredible stars, super creative stars, all sold out in a sense in the 80s, and everything kind of buttoned back up, and it became, you know, yuppie almost and pop, and everything was so synthesized, and for them then it felt like the creativity, I guess, would have been sucked out of the music, and the life had been sucked out of the music. But I feel like every generation feels that. Every generation feels like, oh, you know, the last decade was so brilliant, and now everyone's ba 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 ba. So I think that's kind of funny. But yeah, I love that movie.
I mean, the cast is amazing. I mean, you've got some of the biggest hitters who went on for massive things. I mean, Ewan McGregor, he did really well. And Christian Bale was Batman. Like, that's kind of a tenuous link. There you go. Eddie Izzard, who's big over here in the UK, big comedian over here. It's a very, very good show. It's a good decade. It is a massive decade. I've got some great films over in the 90s. So yeah.
I couldn't
Sorry,
agree
just
more.
reading notes. Right, so I'm gonna do that now. Get that bit out. So I know you're working a lot on Batwoman at the moment, but is there kind of any projects that you're working on coming up? I mean, is there anything you would like to start doing, or anything, any projects you've got kind of in the pipeline?
I have a few things that are, you know, in the talking to somebody, directors, this, da da da. I would just say, like, you know, the next 6 months of this year, the dream would just be like, I just want a book. Like, I want to work on a really badass, like, indie film. You know what I mean? Like, something in the vein of like these last two films, something interesting and something a little challenging, both in a social way and as an actress. Like, just, I don't know, something different. I would just love to play in a world like that. Yeah, that would really be.
You can tell by your film choices. I mean, your film choices are very indie, kind of indie movies, which, you can tell by that kind of what you're saying about what you want to go into. It's, you can tell by your movie taste as well.
100%. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm all about it. Like, oh my God, I would kill to be, like, you know, some badass freaking superhero in a Marvel movie. I would murder to do it. But, you know, in terms of, like, what I don't know. I mean, they're so wonderful in different ways. But the indie films, like, again, I say, it's like you're not just entertaining. You're also challenging something, or you're making a statement of something, which is also so satisfying in and of itself. Mm. In a different way, you know. But I love to entertain. Oh, boy, I love to entertain.
Did you get to watch, because obviously English, I have to ask the question, do you watch kind of much the British indie movies?
Like which one? Like, I saw Disco Pigs, but that, I think, I don't know. I mean, it's an Irish play that they made into a movie. And that one had Cillian Murphy, and I forgot the girl. And that was awesome. I could hardly understand what the hell they were saying, but it was freaking awesome. What's like a British indie film?
We do gritty very, very well. I mean, there's a very good film called Tyrannosaur, which is gritty as hell and depressing as hell, but amazing movie. But it's like stuff like that I've got into over the years, kind of film reviewing and kind of that kind of stuff. So highly recommend that one. There you go. Check that
one out. Okay, cool. 100%. I just looked it up. I'll definitely look that up. Let me see if this is British. I don't think it is. I think it might be French drama, the movie Holy Motors. Did you ever see that drama fantasy? I'm trying to find out if this is Leos Carax was the director. I don't know.
How do you write it?
12. So it was a year after Tyrannosaurus. It's called Holy Motors.
Oh
man, that was good.
Give me break.
I don't know if it's British. It might be French. I don't know how to find out.
That is French.
Oh, it is French. Bueno. But that's definitely another.
Rest of that. Okay. Hey, it's European indie. It's fine.
It's just, you know what I'm saying? At least I crossed the sea. I crossed the sea with this one.
Awesome. So let's go, Gun. Let's go for it. Let's go for your final Bloody Good Screen. What have you picked as your final pick?
All right, it's so obvious. Fight Club, man. That's it. Like, Fight Club is just the best movie ever. Marla is just the best character ever. Tyler Durden is just the hottest man ever. Edward Norton is just fucking perfect ever. So it's just flawless.
And the end of that film is the ultimate mindfuck film as well, which is amazing. And it is such a brilliant film.
And the soundtrack, I think it was the Dusty Brothers who did, who like scored it or whatnot. And then, you know, you have the Pixies at the end. So. I read the book. I love Chuck Palahniuk. Totally just butchered that guy's name. Chuck, I still butcher his last name. Palahniuk. I read the book as well. And the ending of the movie was flawless. Ending of the movie was better than the book. And that's not usually the case, but
no, normally the book is better. And I'm saying that as a book podcaster, but I mean, from all I've heard is it is one of the best adaptations that you can find. And his work, I mean, generally his work anyway, the author's work is messed up in all kind of ways. But
one of my favorite authors. I read almost like all of his books. I mean, if I had to just like take off authors, it's, you know, it's him, it's Ayn Rand and Hermann Hesse. Like, boom, boom, boom. Those are my top authors. Like, oh, so great.
No, like, what else can you really say about Fight Club? I mean, absolutely bloody masterpiece. It's going to run around the same era of you with Fight Club, Seven, you know, such Seven. Great films and such. I know, such a dark movie. I know, sorry, but no, Rana era was just like perfect filmmaking.
And like you said, like these are all movies from the 90s, all three of these films. I think it was like 97. It was actually, I didn't even mean to do this, but it was 97, 98, and 99. These three films came out back to back to back.
A 90s film fan, like you can tell already.
Oh my God. Just, it was a perfect time for films. And what was the other one? Wall Street? Is that what it's called? No, The Game, I think. Was that Fincher as well? I don't know why I thought this might have been Fincher, but the same thing, like a total mind fuck and just, it came out in 97. So it's just the 90s were perfect, a perfect time for film.
And he's actually one of the best directors around. He does it subtly as well. He can go from big films like, you know, Zodiac, and he can do, you know, ones we just mentioned. Then he does kind of the small films you wouldn't really imagine. Like, he did Gone Girl, then he goes and does Manhunter. Oh, sorry, Mindhunter, sorry, over on Netflix, yeah. Which was perfect. But it's such a good, one of those shows that you just want it to be another season, and it got to wait years for another season. But, you know,
executive producer, or I mean, like maybe executive director for House of Cards, the American version, which I adored that show. Adored it. One of my favorites.
I know, he even directed videos for George Michael as well, from the looks of it. So,
okay, that's my field.
There you go. He did, what did he do the video for? 25. There you go. But no, I mean, you know, and he did Mank, which was, you know, a huge hit, especially in award season. So, you know, you can't beat his films. And one of the directors you don't hear enough about. And
oh my God, he's doing a prequel to the 1974 Chinatown. He's directing a prequel to Chinatown, which I've never seen, but I know that that's such like an iconic, you know, one of the greatest movies, blah, blah, blah. Wow.
But if you're going to go for any director, you know, at least you know you can rely on this director. So, you know, David Fincher is, you know, just a bloody genius. But yeah, so there you go. That is three very 90s based picks. I've at least seen two of them.
I didn't even mean to do that. I swear. I was just like, oh, yeah, top three movies. Boom. Easy. Like, that's them. And now as we're like here talking about it, and I IMDb them, I'm like, oh, my God. They literally, and in that order, came out 1 year, the next year, the following year.
Hey, continuity. I like that. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm a very linear
And, you person. Know, we finish off in a book as well. So even better.
Yeah. I gave you everything, man. I gave you everything. Books. Films, TV shows, all of it.
And that's why I like. See, perfect. Yes, three brilliant choices. So again, where can people find your social media if you want to be found?
Oh, yes. Feel free to find me. It's my name, just Bevin Brew, BEVINBRU, everywhere, like on all socials. So for right now, I think I'm the only person with that name on stuff. So it should be pretty easy to find me. And yeah.
There you go. Great. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's been really lovely talking to you, especially talking about movies. One of the things I do love to do. So, but yeah. So again, thank you to everybody for listening to the podcast. You can catch me over on social medias over at Bloody Good Reads or at the website. Twitter as well at Snakebite Horror. You can also catch me on Instagram, Bloody Good Reads, and we've got some great shows coming up soon as well. We've got another episode of the Bloody Good Book Club. That's me and Zoe from Zobo of a Shotgun talking about Boy Parts by Liz Elza Clark, which is an interesting read so far. Got lots to mention about that book class. It was horror. But yes, we've got some really, really good episodes coming up, and some really good guests coming up on this podcast too. And of course, on the book podcast, we've got some big book guests as well. So I've been your host, Mike Goddard. Thank you to Bevin Brew for coming on to the podcast, and I'll see you next time.